And you know, all of this came out of intending to make fun of National Geographic magazine, which eventually I'm going to get back to that. But unfortunately, we have to continue a little bit longer with Procter & Gamble's virtue signaling, just because they have this multi-page advertisement in here, and it's just on and on and on. I'm going to talk about something else about the previous episode. I got a little follow-up to that. That's shocking, right? The Great One has some follow-up. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock is something to keep it company. Either you are wrong or I am right. Don't forget, the ever-present, most likely, the third possibility. Spock, where's my chair? Yeah, I am Oh, only one left alive, too, man. Huh. DeForest Kelly, dead. Leonard Nimoy, dead. James Doohan, dead. The four core members of the original Star Trek. Only William Shatner remains. Man. It's kind of sad. It is. I look back and think about that because I still got the Star Trek on the DVD, which I saw on the Amazon of the .com that there is now original Star Trek is available in some kind of remastered format where they've added in CGI special effects and clipped bits from the episode. I'm reading the reviews and people are saying, yeah, they've taken out parts of the episodes that make things not make sense and stuff. It's like, Why do we have to fuck everything up? Everything's gotta be, you can't just leave it the fuck alone. And see, this is why, hang on 1 second, I gotta do something here. And by do something, I mean turn off the email program so I'm not getting distracted. What was I saying? Oh! See, people say that I'm crazy, and I am, but that I get that I have DVDs, whether I actually bought the DVDs like I did with the Star Trek, or if I just get the DVDs from library or Netflix or something like that and then rip my own copies if it's something I know I'm going to want to watch again. And this is why, because it's just like with the original Star Wars before George Lucas went back and fucked it all up with the CGI and everything. Can you find the original Star Wars without the fucking up CGI shit? I've heard you can't. I haven't looked that hard because I don't need to look hard because I got a copy of it. I've got a DVD of the original Star Wars without any of the bullshit. Ooh, which reminds me. See, I got to put this in an upcoming linkage. I was going to put this in the last science fiction linkage and I forgot about it. I heard somewhere someone talked about it and I looked it up. It's on YouTube. It is a fan-created re-editing of the Darth Vader Obi-Wan Kenobi fight from the original Star Wars movie. And it's pretty badass, especially when you look at it and go, you know, once again, it's like, these are a bunch of fans. It's like with the Star Trek fan movies, which I was going to do an entire episode about Star Trek fan movies, which I've never done that because there's some really good ones. But I mean, look at these things, like these Star Trek fan movies that I've seen. They're amazing. Amazing, as Jesse Lee Peterson would say. You know, and these people are doing this for no money whatsoever. They're doing it out of love. And the same thing with this re-envisioning of Obi-Wan Kenobi versus Darth Vader. It's pretty fantastic piece of work. It's really good. And to think that, you know, some fans of the movie got together and just whipped this out. I mean, I don't mean it as they whipped it out as in it was easy to do. There's a lot of effort, obviously, went into this. But I mean, this is why I have the DVDs because the original versions are going to become difficult to come by. And they're going to get edited and CGI'd, right? And they're going to do things like take out the parts that aren't politically correct. This is the same reason I'm opposed to ebooks. We all know this. You buy a book and it's printed, it can't be changed. Whereas, of course, information on the interwebs, I mean, this is the 1984 fantasy come true, because you just go on the internet or you go on the ebook or you go on the digital streaming of Netflix or whatever, and you just change things. And nobody will ever know the difference. But when you have the DVD or when you have the printed book, that information cannot be tampered with the way it can if it's in digital format. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Here's what I do as my follow-up on the previous episode where we found out that women don't know about periods and they have period poverty because they can't afford tampons. They have money for all this other stuff. They just don't have money for tampons. You know, which is typical. They got money for going out and drinking, and they got money for buying shoes, but they don't have money to take care of their kids. They don't have money to buy their daughters tampons. Typical single mothers. Actually, typical of most parents today. Can't really completely lay that one on single mothers alone, can we? Yeah. Because fathers, such as they are not doing much of a better job. When you see something like this, this is an indicator, I think, primarily of two things. Number one, it's an indicator that our society doesn't have any fucking problems. You know, once again, this is the biggest fucking problem, that you don't have a tampon. Which still, I mean, I'm still, seriously, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. You have a teenage girl in school, and she needs free tampons. I mean, I know I sound like a broken record, but this is a serious question. Where in the fuck are the parents? Why can the parents not afford tampons? Why are the parents not buying tampons for their daughters? This is also an indicator of how worthless and mentally ill so many people in our society have become, because there is this group of people who I would submit are worthless, parasitical, mentally ill, who are taking this and they're turning it into this giant crisis and problem that must be quote unquote solved. And in reality, what this is about is this just about them getting attention. Because the solutions to these things are very simple. I'll tell you about a parallel to this, and then we'll talk about this. The solutions are simple. The solutions are just not being an idiot. Here's the parallel. Right now, right, we have all this shit flying around about bathrooms. This is a major fucking crisis. Bathrooms. You know, we need gender-neutral bathrooms and non-binary bathrooms and this bathrooms because the trannies don't know where to pee, and we got to have laws about bathrooms. And I've talked about this so many times before. When I lived in Houston, I would go into bathrooms. Occasionally, you'd see a woman in there. Or occasionally, you'd see a man wearing a dress. And you know how many times anybody ever gave a shit that I know about? Zero. If I went in a man's bathroom and there was someone there who looked like a woman, I didn't care. Now, of course, if you're a man, you go in the women's bathroom, that's different, but that's because women are strong and independent, fish bicycle, perfect, can do anything. The solution to all of this tranny bathroom, which bathroom do I use shit, is just for people to go in there and take a piss or take a shit wash their hands, you know, maybe look, make sure there's nothing hanging out of their nose, check their teeth, make sure there's no broccoli stuck between the mirror, and then go out. But nobody can just go about the normal functions of their day. Nobody can just get up in the morning and make some coffee and drink their coffee, you know, and then, man, what do people do in the morning? I mean, I know what I do in the morning. Nobody can just get up, right? Brush their teeth, make some coffee, hey, go to work, maybe do their fucking job, maybe go get some lunch, then maybe go back, do their job some more, then maybe go to a bar and then just go home. Nobody can just do their life. Everybody, not everybody, the mentally ill people, the people who need attention, the people who are parasites, the people who are attention whores, they need other people to constantly look at them. They need validation from other people. And we all need validation from other people, but some of us get validation from other people by doing things of value. Right? I talk about this all the time, creating value for other people. But those who can't create value for other people, they still need the validation. Since they can't create value for other people by being an electrician or a plumber or an engineer or, you know, or whatever the fuck it is, a podcaster. cls.link/Amazon, cls.link/Amazon. So you can spend your Federal Reserve cuckbucks at Amazon.com and give me a percentage. Because I'm creating so much value. And remember, if you're listening to this podcast without paying me, you are stealing. It's my Stefan Molyneux impersonation. And remember, I've been podcasting longer than Stefan Molyneux has. I've been doing this for 15 years. You say, well, great one. Okay, so if you've been doing this for 15 years, longer than Stefan Molyneux, shouldn't you be making a shit ton of money? I mean, shouldn't you be bigger than Stefan Molyneux is if you've been doing this longer than him? Oh, guys, I am bigger than Stefan Molyneux. I am much bigger than Stefan Molyneux. Just ask his wife. She'll tell you. People who can't create value for other people that people want, they still need the validation. And so they go forth and they've got to create some kind of virtue signaling, racket, scam, which they can use to get attention. And the which bathroom do I use is one of those scams. Just go use a fucking bathroom. You know, trannies did exist when I was younger, but it's not until the last, what, 5 years or whatever, that trannies couldn't figure out which bathroom to use. And while trannies have always been mentally ill, it's not really a thing that trannies have suddenly had their IQ drop so much that they can't figure out which bathroom to use. It's that, first of all, non-trannies want attention and validation, so they turn this into a problem. And then there's a lot more trannies now who also need attention and validation. And so they're turning this into a problem, right? Because we've got old school trannies like Sophia, whose name, last name I can't remember. I talked about her many, many podcasts ago. Long story short, she is a transsexual, used to be a man. Now she thinks she's a woman. I mean, she's still not, but here's the thing. Remember, Sophia wrote the code for reduced instruction. What is it? RISC. Reduced instruction code, something, something. She wrote a bunch of computer software. She wrote computer code that is used in hundreds of thousands of devices. We talked about her when, what book was that that I was talking about where she came up? I can't even remember. But the point is, she accomplished something. She did something of value. She doesn't need to go through life going, look at me, I'm a tranny, and I'm going to try to pass laws at which bathroom I can use. She doesn't have to do that to get attention because she's got her validation in the form of a lot of money and an accomplishment, a major accomplishment that's made the world arguably a better or not a better place, depending on how you feel about technology. But I mean, she didn't write the code to create cell phones that spy on people's locations and shit, right? But the point is, she accomplished something. She's getting her validation from other people for an accomplishment. That's like your old school tranny. It's like the difference between a musician who's a homosexual or a homosexual who is a musician, right? Or a musician who is a musician who has political beliefs as opposed to a person with political beliefs who happens to be a musician, right? What do you let be? That is great grammar. Whoof. What aspect of who you are do you allow to become the defining aspect of who you are? Right. So if your defining aspect of who you are is that you're a tranny, then everything else revolves around that. And because being a tranny doesn't create value for other people, but you need other people's validation and attention, you have to start doing all this outlandish, weird shit in order to get validation and attention. Whereas, if you are a software, if you're a coder, because I think Sophia actually created the language that's used for this, right? So what do you call somebody who creates a software language? I guess that's a programmer. I mean, that was sort of her core. That was her central identity. That was the part of her identity she leads with. And because that creates value for other people, she doesn't have to run around acting like a fucking tranny freak weirdo trying to pass laws about what bathroom to use. So we have this thing, this situation. What bathroom do trannies urinate and shit in? And it looks like this problem that can only be solved with laws and raising awareness and websites and fucking nonprofits and all this other horseshit. And it's actually very easy to solve if you're simply not stupid and if you're not an attention-seeking whore. There's a person here, and the person needs to go to the bathroom. Which bathroom do you use? Whichever fucking one you want. It's really not that big of a fucking deal unless you're mentally ill. And it's the same thing with the tampons. And we're not talking about in the third world shithole countries, okay? Because that's not my problem, okay? If black people and brown people are so goddamn wonderful, then why can't they solve their own problems? So we're not talking about that. I don't give a fuck about third world countries. Right here in the United States, like that video with little Emily and her daddy didn't love her enough to buy her any tampons, but he's a hard worker. I'm dead serious about this. It's 2020. It's the current fucking year. The schools already, this sounds like it's this, right? Again, this sounds like this major crisis. Oh my God, there's period poverty. There's girls going to school in the United States who don't have tampons. We need to raise awareness and we're going to make websites and we're going to have period chapters and we're going to write books about menstruation and we're going to have raising awareness campaigns and we're going to protest and we're going to pass laws. You know, and all the while I've got to hear this shit about how great the public school system is and how women can do anything and how the teachers care so much and how we can crowdfund things and how the internet has democratized things and also the horse shit. Okay, great. So you have a school. And the school has girls in it. And the girls menstruate. And despite anything you saw on the internet, boys don't menstruate. There are no boys who menstruate. No boy has ever menstruated in the fucking history of boys or menstruation. So you're the fucking principal. And you're a man. Because if you're a woman, none of us will work because women aren't agents and they can't make decisions. You're a man. And you got a bunch of fucking little girls going to your school and they're going to fucking menstruate. And they're going to menstruate at school because it's not like coming to school turns it off. So what do you need to have? You need to have some fucking products. Okay, your school is already blowing how many hours on bullshit? How many man and woman hours on bullshit? And your school is already blowing how much money, my tax money that you stole from me, how much of my money are you blowing on bullshit? Okay, great. You set up a survey on the internet. And you send the link to all, you post the link, and you don't even have to send it out, you just post the link on the wall for your students. Take the survey, here's the link, they go there on their phone. It just ask, what feminine products do you need? Like by brand, like you need to get your Massagal, you got your fucking whatever it is, you got your Stay Fresh, you got the one where the woman's riding a horse, whatever the fuck it is, right? You send one of your fucking female employees, one of your teachers, you ask her because you don't know this shit because you're a man. Like, what do we need to put on here? You find out which products the girls in your school need. You do some math. You figure out how much you need to buy. You send some woman to the fucking store. This place called Walmart. You buy a bunch of the fucking products. You bring them back to the school. We covered this last time. You put a shelf or maybe a cabinet. You put a cabinet in the women's bathrooms. And you put the fucking feminine hygiene products in the fucking cabinet. And it's done. It's not that fucking hard. Okay? Understand this. I'm not saying a woman having her period start while she's in the middle of school is not a problem. It is a problem. It's an inconvenience, right? It's something that is going to happen. I mean, it's not a problem in a bad way. It's like if you're sitting in class and you get a nosebleed, right? You're not a bad person, but you've got to deal with it. Okay, the woman starts menstruating in class. Well, she's got to deal with it. See, it's not that hard. You just, as the people running the school, who claim they care about children, and we know they're lying. And see, this is the point. This whole thing that I just spent 2 hours talking about this reveals the entire lie, all the lies that the parents care about their children. Yes, just not enough to buy them tampons. That the teachers and the school administrators care about the children. Yeah, just not enough to have some fucking tampons in the bathroom. Right? None of you give a fuck. And all these people who are doing all this shit about the period poverty and the fucking period.org, and none of these people give a shit about these kids. These are people who want attention. And so they've taken something that is not a problem in a civilization that is not top loaded with stupid people. Because once again, I've just solved it. I've just told you the fucking solution. This is not a difficult problem to solve. The amount of money a school would need to buy a bunch of tampons and pads for their students is infinitesimally, I can't, words. It's tiny compared to the amount of money they blow on bullshit. This would not even be a blip on the budget. This problem could be solved with a couple of $1,000s and a couple of man hours. It's turned into this giant problem that needs websites and protest and laws and awareness raising and chapters and all this, because these are a bunch of fucking worthless parasitical pieces of shit who just want attention. It's like that stupid chink bitch who founded period.org. She's on leave of absence from Harvard. What that means is she couldn't pass her classes. These are just people who need attention. These are not real problems. Real problems are, you know, third world countries where there is civil war, actual real civil war, not fake civil war like here in the United States when the Confederacy left. Real civil war where people are shooting at each other and the people who are caught in the crossfire don't have electricity and refrigeration and fucking running water and shit, and they're drinking water that other people have shit in. Those are real fucking problems. But some little fucking, you know, what's her face? Emily. You know, this little Mexican girl in a fucking school in the United States not being able to get a tampon. That is not a real problem. That is not even remotely close to a real problem. That is simply lazy, parasitical people looking for attention. All right, let's see how much progress we can make on this. Let's get back to the Procter & Gamble advertisement here in National Geographic. The issue that says the Arctic is heating up on the cover. See, originally when I opened this, we were going to make fun of global warming, but then we completely got sidetracked. That was so long ago, most of you have probably even forgotten this already. But it was happening. So here we've got talking about racial bias. While some racial bias is conscious, much is unconscious. See, you white people, you can't help being racist. You're just unconsciously racist. It's built into you. It's who you are. Much is unconscious and can be impacted and shaped by images in entertainment, advertising, and media. Yes, because entertainment, advertising, and media are propaganda. They're admitting right here that your racism, your lack of racism, your one way or the other, can be impacted and shaped by images in entertainment, advertising, and media. Yes. That's why when you see like this advertisement, there's no white people in here. That's why whenever you watch TV commercials, you always have to see black men with white women. That's why you're always seeing white women with mixed race children. Yes, entertainment, advertising, and media is being used to propagandize people towards the elimination of white people. How communities see each other, communities cannot see anything. Individual people can see. Communities do not have sentience or awareness or perception. How communities see each other can lead to life-changing personal and societal consequences. Yes, such as a bunch of white women in Scandinavian countries being raped by Muslim immigrants. Especially for people of color and impoverished communities. Because we always have to differentiate people of color from white people, because people of color are, of course, equal to white people. In fact, race doesn't even exist. Everybody knows there's no such thing as race. But we always have to differentiate colored people or people of color or whatever we call them this week from white people. So if they're exactly the same as white people, if there's no difference between the races, why do we always have to differentiate colored people from white people? Although talking about it can be uncomfortable, conversations about bias are long overdue and can lead to real understanding and action. Once again, I'm talking about it right now, and I am, of course, a racist. Nobody wants to hear what I'm saying. So it's not that talking about it can be uncomfortable, it's that telling the truth about it can be uncomfortable. The propagandizing part of it is not uncomfortable, that is in fact encouraged. Procter & Gamble believes in using their voice in advertising as a force for good by addressing important societal issues while ensuring positive, accurate portrayals of all people. Positive, accurate portrayals of all people. Their newest film, The Look. Oh, we talked about The Look, remember? Because everybody is racist. Because this black guy is walking around and everybody's looking at him. Oh my God, it's a black man. Oh, I'm so racist. I can't believe there's a black man in here. Because yeah, you know, that's what really happens. Through this effort, Procter & Gamble hopes to drive conversations that lead to understanding, develop empathy, and help activate change. And by activate change, we mean get rid of white people. Once again, see this, you, all you corporations, nobody wants you to fucking drive conversations. I just want you to make shit paper. That's all I need you to do. All right, we're moving forward. Next page, we have some virtue signaling about Hurricane Katrina. Over here, we got championing girls' confidence and education. Every day, all over the world, millions of girls miss school and lose confidence because of their period. Too many girls lack of knowledge, tools, and support they need to be able to manage their period with dignity and confidence. Again, I fail to understand how women can be perfect and not understand their periods. Once again, I fail to understand how women can spend so much time. And I'm not talking about the ones in the third world. I'm talking about the ones in the United States. How do you spend so much time talking about your tits and your vagina and not understand that blood comes out of your vagina once a month? How do you not know this? Do you have the internet? Yeah, I can't read, I can't do it anymore. We're moving on. And here's a page, virtue signaling, reduce plastic waste to save our oceans. Well, I don't know. Why don't you guys stop making plastic water bottles? I mean, bottled water, my fucking God. Talk about pampered and spoiled. And I recently ran across something, and my first reaction was, this is dumb. Then my second reaction was, no, this actually makes sense. Canned water. Let me say that again. Canned water. Now, I know you might be thinking like in a can, like a can of beans. Not that kind of canned water, because I've seen that before. Like a beer can, like a pop tab can of water. And so my first thought was, well, this is stupid. But then my second thought was, actually, this makes way more sense. Because plastic, despite everything you've heard from the environmentalist wackos, plastic doesn't recycle very well. Not to mention the fact that plastic is made with all kinds of fucking chemicals and nasty shit. Once again, I worked at a research lab. I've seen the research done on the chemicals that are in the plastic. I've seen the tadpoles with three legs. This is why I don't drink out of plastic water bottles and I don't drink bottled water unless I absolutely have to. Plastic is bad, okay, in just about every way. It doesn't go away. It's made with shitty-ass chemicals. They claim it's recyclable, but it doesn't get recycled because it costs more money and more energy to recycle the plastic than it does to just throw it away. I would love to see plastic phased out, except for, you know, a minimal number. There are some things like, for example, plastic bins that you store stuff in. That's a pretty good use for plastic. But plastic water bottles, completely fucking stupid idea. Plastic, you know, silverware and shit like that, plastic plates, terrible fucking idea. For the environment, for the economy, because of what it costs to make it, blah, 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 blah. Love to get rid of that shit. What's the only thing that could be recycled profitably? Aluminum. And it's metal. Aluminum doesn't have weird fucking chemicals in it. You take an aluminum can, you throw it into the river. I mean, sure, it's going to stay there for a long time, but it's not going to make three-legged tadpoles. Canned water makes a lot more fucking sense than bottled water. So if any of you fucking environmentalist, dope-smoking, fucking global warming, freak, attention-seeking, mentally ill fuckwits actually give a shit enough, I don't know, maybe try pushing for canned water instead of bottled water. But you're not going to do that, are you? Because you don't really give a shit about the earth. You don't really give a shit about the environment. You sure as hell don't understand the economics of recycling. All you care about is attention. Next page, we're virtue signaling about improving lives with clean water. All right, God, and finally, that's over. That's the end of the virtue signaling from Procter & Gamble. If you have schizophrenia, there is help. Here's a full-page advertisement for schizophrenia medication. Four-page, great. All right, cruising right along. Here we go. God damn it. Wait, am I missing a page? Oh, no. The Arctic is heating up. Imagine the top of the world without ice. It could happen sooner than you think. It was supposed to have happened already. There were multiple predictions that the Arctic would be ice-free by 2020, and yet there it is. The new Cold War. As the ice melts, old rivals scramble for position. The carbon threat. Thawing tundra will speed up warming worldwide. An Arctic mystery. A British team vanished trying to find the Northwestern Passage of the 1840s. Now there are clues to what happened. Oh, that actually sounds interesting. "2036, Last Summer Ice." By mid-century, if not sooner, Arctic summers are expected to be hot enough to melt most of the sea ice that forms in the winter. Here's where that blah, 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 blah. All right, there you go. 2036. Last summer sea ice. Let's see how that works out. We'll all be alive in 2036. The new Cold War. Here we got whining. We got more whining. Arctic acid, blah, 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 blah. So there's a bunch of stuff about the politics as everybody is fighting over all of this land that's going to be revealed. The thaw speeds up. The unexpectedly rapid collapse of ice-rich permafrost in the Arctic could pump billions of additional tons of methane and carbon dioxide into the atmosphere every year. A threat that is yet to be fully accounted for in climate models. Yeah, kind of like climate models don't account for clouds. Scientists are discovering destabilized landscapes where permafrost that once thawed a few inches a year can now abruptly thaw up to 10 feet within days or weeks, creating wetlands in once frozen regions and accelerating emissions from up to 1,600 gigatons of carbon still locked underground. Oh my God, we're all gonna... Wait, I thought wetlands were supposed to be a great thing. We protect wetlands. So then there's here more pictures of... Oh, look, oh my God, there's water. It's thawing. Everyone's going to die. Here in Greenland, people are outside with their shirts off. It's terrible. Because it's getting so warm. Oh my goodness. What is this shit? Here's some pictures. Here's some pictures of some wolves. Hey, look, some actual... Fucking interesting stuff in National Geographic instead of politics. Before it melts. As the ice thins in the Canadian Arctic, the Inuit use camping trips to teach their young how to live off the land and preserve their culture. Why are they preserving their culture? They should just get on Amazon and buy shit. They should be doing, you know, spending money. Should be spending their cookbooks. We don't want to preserve no cultures. Besides, isn't that kind of racist? To even say that the Inuits are different than anyone else? Let's continue in this vein. National Geographic, a world on the move. Seas rise, crops wither, wars erupt. Humankind seeks shelter in another place. I wonder what place that is where humankind is seeking shelter. Oh, that's right. It's countries filled with white people where, you know, we're not murdering each other and involved in civil wars and where we can actually grow enough food to feed people and where we have, you know, what the fuck? Where we have, what do you call it, indoor plumbing. We are all migrants. Humans are a migratory species. Yet some would divide us into two kinds, the migrant and the native. Oh boy, I wonder if this is going to be some anti-white propaganda. I wonder if this is going to be about how white people should let immigrants come into their countries and take over. I wonder if that's what this is going to be about. All of us descended from migrants. Even if you live today in the Rift Valley in Africa, mother continent to all, on the site of the earliest discovery, blah, blah, blah. None of us is a native of the place we call home. Oh, does that include the Native Americans? So are we going to shut the fuck up about white people coming here and taking land away from the Native Americans? Are we going to shut the fuck up about that? I doubt it. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, basically this is very subtly, I'm skimming this. This is very subtly about how we need to let a bunch of mud people come to the United States. Accepting our reality as a migratory species will not be easy. No, because most people don't really want to be exterminated. New art, new stories, and new ways of being will be needed, but the potential is great. A better world is possible. A more just and inclusive world better for us and for our grandchildren. With better food, better music, and less violence, too. Because we all know that diversity leads to better food, better music, and less violence. Walking with migrants. Once again, we see a bunch of mud people who are trying to get out of their countries, which are all shitholes, which is odd because their countries are all filled with mud people. But somehow or another, when the mud people come to Western countries, they will magically become these wonderful, productive citizens. Right? They're all going to become engineers and fucking doctors and lawyers, and they're all going to pay taxes and contribute. Yet somehow or another, when they're back in their native country, they're all just busy killing each other and starving to death and shitting in the streets. Oh, that's right. It's magic dirt theory. My God. See, here we got pictures of fucking babies, because we always got to use the kids to manipulate people. The crying infants, oh my God. Look, more mud people. So, the lure of Spain. What the fuck is this? Waves of African migrants have come to Spain in recent decades, most of them enticed by Spanish demand for foreign labor, some by the need to escape instability or conflict. Nearly a million Africans now call Spain home. Great. There's the boulder. Yep, yep, yep. Who were the first Europeans? Oh, I'm sure it wasn't white people. We can't have that, can we? Yeah, 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 we descended from Africans. Yeah, we got it. Somebody. Oh, here we go. To me, the new results from DNA are undermining the nationalist paradigm that we have always lived here and not mixed with other people. There's no such thing as a Dane or a Swede or a German. Instead, we're all Russians, all Africans. But clearly, nobody's trying to eliminate Europeans. I mean, that's obviously not what's going on. Even though we've got some so-called scientist right here being quoted as saying, there's no such thing as a Dane or a Swede or a German. We're all Russians, all Africans. But there, nobody's got it out for Europeans. That's not a thing. See, that's just a bunch of neo-Nazis and white supremacists and all this other stuff. Okay. Oh, fuck. Can I get through the last issue? Can I do it? We only have a few minutes left. Ladies and gentlemen, National Geographic, this is 11/2019, Women, a Century of Change, with pictures of 9 women on the front, none of whom any self-respecting man would bang. It's all about the women's. every day, sexism is one thing. Here we have sexism under the microscope, harassment at school. In a University of Texas survey, women reported being sexually harassed by faculty and staff within their field of study across 13 of its institutions. 1 in 5 in science, 1 in 4 in engineering, 1 in 2 in medicine. Women are so sexually harassed at college, and yet they keep going to college. Wow, it's almost as if they're either lying or stupid. Oh my God, here we go. What is your greatest strength? This is the Black Lives Matter co-creator. She's a large, ugly, fat woman. Question, what is your greatest strength? Her answer is, my ability to ignore it when I get no for an answer. I'm confused. I thought no meant no. So if I say to a woman, I want to put my cock inside of you, and she says no, I should do like Alicia Garza. Alicia Garza, co-creator of Black Lives Matter. I should ignore it when I get the word no for an answer. Oh, wait. No, no, no. See, only black women get to do that because they're special. See, as a white man, I'm obligated to respect other people when they say the word no. You know, that's because I have agency and intelligence and integrity and morals. But as a black woman, as a vastly inferior piece of shit, when somebody tells her the word no, well, she can just ignore them. And that is her greatest strength. To ignore people telling her the word no. Oh my God. Whew. In the fight. Women are taking more active roles in the military, serving on the front lines of armed conflicts and as peacekeepers in the world's hotspots. And here we show some woman covered in tattoos carrying a man covered. Women in the military. Oh my God, I'm going to vomit. Yeah, oh my God. All right, we're going to have to probably spend an entire episode on this. As painful as that's going to be for all of us, it's going to be painful for you, it's going to be painful for me. Too bad the cucks won't say the word no to women.